everybody, and welcome back to Friends on Friends, the podcast review show where we watch every movie starring a friend from Friends. I'm friend number two.
Aww, Jacob thank you. DeNoble,
and this is friend number one.
I'm Danielle Lohan.
The number one light of my life.
Oh, boy.
And we've got a great episode for you here today. We have watched Dance Till Dawn, which is a 1988 made-for-television teen movie featuring one Mr. Matthew Perry.
Featuring is maybe a generous word, Jacob.
Let's just dive in.
Okay.
So let's talk specifically about Matt.
Well, what is Dance Till Dawn? When was it made? And all that.
So this is a 1988, and this was a made-for-TV movie that was part of a series of made-for-TV movies of the era where they were just pulling every sitcom star, youthful sitcom star they could find, cramming them all together in a fluffy story, and then throwing it on Friday night when, you know, folks don't have anything better to watch. So this features, it's an all-star cast.
It's a really good cast.
We got Christina Applegate, Alyssa Milano, we've got Matthew Perry, Alan Thicke from Growing Pains, Kelsey Grammer, Edie McClurg. Yeah, it's a great little cast. I think it hits a lot of people's nostalgia buttons. I think a little more than us. We're a little too young to really, you know, I don't know if you ever watched Growing Pains.
I did not, no.
Yeah, I caught maybe, I think, one episode at the doctor's office. And I think it was only, they were only airing it because they were like running the Leonardo DiCaprio episodes. Such vivid memories I have of being 7 years old at the doctor's
I've
office.
I've now learned that Leo was on Growing Pains.
Yeah, he was a late addition. He was on briefly. And I think like ABC Family or something was like, remember the young days of Leo.
Yeah.
It would make sense. It was probably Titanic era. So yes, so Dance Till Dawn, it's about prom night. We've got essentially five or six concurrent storylines.
They don't totally overlap, except for the fact that they all go to the same school.
That was actually going to be a complaint of mine. They don't intersect often enough.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Really at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, it's essentially like five teen couples, and then the parents of like three of the teens, and then they all, you know, we cross-cut between all their stories. And it's a frothy fun time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I liked every one of the stories.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's a danger when you're doing this kind of cross-cut because, like, invariably you're going to cut to one and the audience is going to be like, ugh, this one.
But we all have seen Love Actually. We know the storyline that we're all thinking of.
Other than I guess there is one, and it's the parents who are getting a divorce.
That's true. Yeah. Okay.
But let's talk Matthew Perry.
Yes.
He's 19 here.
Such a baby.
And unfortunately for us and this podcast, his role is essentially a one-joke role.
Yeah.
That he is kind of the put-down-upon boyfriend of a type A Christina Applegate.
Yep.
And then at the end, he gets to stand up for himself and he has a big speech. And there's a good joke where he says he wants to be a fireman, and everybody laughs and, like, drops plates and stuff. It's so shocking to them that he wants to be a fireman instead of a CPA. Yeah, let's dive in. Tell me your thoughts. Tell me your feelings.
So, first things first, I love that this movie had such a catchy opening song that told you exactly what the movie was about. The movie was, or the song opening was all about how it's prom night, it's going to be great, we're not going to forget this night, and it's wonderful. And I love when there's like an explicit way that I'm supposed to be feeling, and the song tells me about it.
Yeah, I love the opening credits are so good. That, like you said, black and white, and then like cartooned over
yes.
with like bright colors. Yeah, and the song, I think it's called Senior Prom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, senior, we'll drop it in. And you'll enjoy. Yeah, it's a great opening.
Just got the keys to the old man's car. Gonna tear up this old town. Gonna be the brightest star.
introduced to is the nerd. The nerd looks like my husband.
That's me. I'm the nerd.
Yes. He's awkward. We learn later that he is trying to fake going to the prom to satisfy his dad's hopes for him to go to the prom and have a good time. Mm-hmm. But this kid doesn't have a date. He's also not planning on going to college. All he wants to do is look at the stars and be a nerd.
Yep.
And he ends up hanging out with Alyssa Milano in a pretty cute couple.
It's probably the cutest of all the storylines, and I think they knew.
Yeah.
I think that's why they put Alyssa Milano, who
yes.
is probably the biggest of the teen stars yeah. of the era. Yeah, so they meet at an all-night monster movie marathon
mm-hmm.
because Alyssa Milano is broken up with by, well, she breaks up with her boyfriend, Kevin, who is played by Brian Bloom, who is apparently a soap opera star, but now does a lot of Marvel cartoons and is like the go-to voice for Captain America.
Huh.
Yeah, he has werewolf eyes. They're like silver
yeah.
and a dark mullet. And Danielle, tell me what you said about him.
So I just don't trust men with dark hair who have like really nice eyes. Because invariably, they like have it in their head that they're extremely attractive. They know that their eyes like have an effect on people, and they try to like use it. And I haven't had a bad experience. All I'm just saying is, in real life, this is 100% true. So.
Okay, yeah, great. So anyhow, we'll just go through storyline by storyline,
yes.
essentially. Yeah. So. The nerd and Alyssa Milano are at this all-night movie marathon, and Alyssa is hiding out because she doesn't want anyone to know that she doesn't have a date for prom, mm-hmm. because she broke up with her boyfriend because he wanted to have sex with her on prom night, and she was like, whoa, this is going a little fast for me.
Yeah.
But
they've been dating for 4 years, so the guy's kind of an ass about it.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to go home and just hang out at home because her little sister is a bully. It's just gonna like make fun of her. So she pretends that the limo driver that she's hired is taking her out to the limo to go with her date to prom.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't go home yet.
Yep. So they both have reasons for wanting people to think they're at prom but not being at prom. And he saves her from a bunch of 10th graders. There's a great running gag where Alyssa Milano knows every single person in town because she's the most popular girl in school. And so anywhere they go, she's like, oh my gosh, that's such and such. They're going to see me and know I wasn't at prom. And then the nerd has to like come up with ways. The nerd's name is Dan. Let's call him Dan.
Yeah, Dan.
He was on Max Headroom apparently. So he hides her out in the movie theater. He pretends to be an usher because he's wearing a tuxedo, and he like scares the hell out of the 10th graders who are all wearing outrageous hats.
Oh my God, their hats were hilarious. I swear, one was wearing like legit one of those like little like skull caps with like a propeller on it almost.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't legit that, but it was pretty close.
One of the great lines. This movie has a lot of good lines.
So many.
I've written down some of the best jokes, I think. So Alyssa, after hiding from the folks, is like, oh, this is worse than the time I had a milk mustache and everybody stared at me. And Dan goes, oh, yeah, I remember that on Nightline. So meanwhile, the parent version of this storyline is that Dan's dad wants his son to be a player.
Yeah.
Really invested in his son having a date. And his dad is a family therapist.
Marriage counselor.
Mm-hmm. On a date with a therapist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she realizes that Dan's corsage is still at home and is like, he's going to be upset. You need to take this to him. And so Dan's dad and his date drive to the prom to return his corsage.
But Dan's nowhere to be found.
Ah!
Uh-oh.
Where's Dan? He's driving around with Alyssa Milano. They go to a fancy restaurant where they do intersect with some of the other storylines mm-hmm. there. But then they go stargazing.
Yeah.
At a place that he calls Space Mountain.
It's pretty cute.
And they look through the telescope. Alyssa Milano doesn't know anything about stars. Neither do the writers. He points out the Milky Way, which isn't that what we're in?
I mean, yeah, but I think you can see, like, part of the Milky Way.
Okay.
But, like, if it were so obvious as what they show us on the screen,
yeah,
surely Alyssa Milano wouldn't miss it if she were looking through the telescope.
But, you know, as the night goes on, they, not quite enemies to lovers, but, you know, the nerd and the most popular girl in school.
Opposites attract.
They find out they have a lot in common.
Yeah.
She forces him to take off his really cool glasses.
I know, he looks worse.
There's a great thing in 80s movies that I love where nerds tend to look exactly like 2016 hunks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's this movie called Teen Witch where she has a date with a guy and she opens the door and he's supposed to be the most repulsive man you've ever seen, and it is the hottest 2016 hipster you've ever seen.
100%, yeah.
So this kind of hits in on that a little bit. And then they end up at Make Out Point.
Yeah.
And to hide from all the other couples making out, they make out.
Yep. You gotta do what you gotta do.
And then his dad sees his son as a player.
Yeah.
And is happy.
And it's all okay.
Everything's A-okay.
But then they end up, when the sun rises, they find themselves in a diner.
Mm-hmm.
And Alyssa Milano confirms to everyone that she's going steady with Dan.
Oh, yeah. That's a good cute line. I loved that. Okay. Next, do you want to go to Kevin and Angela Strull?
Can we talk about Matthew Perry, though?
Let's talk about Matthew Perry.
Let's go to Christina Applegate and Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
It's not Julie. That's the last movie.
We have Patrice.
Is that really her name? Wow.
Yeah. Matthew Perry is Roger.
Mm.
Doesn't even get a last name.
Nope. So, Patrice, she's the second scene in the movie, so mm-hmm. I feel like this makes sense.
Okay.
So, Patrice is the, as Jacob said, type A, going to be homecoming queen, going to be prom queen, planned prom,
mm-hmm.
and has the next, like, 10 years of their life planned out while Matthew Perry just sits there and says, what? And that's his role until the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
I thought Christina Applegate was interesting and fun and charming in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know she's supposed to be, like, the annoying, like, you know, good girl.
Yeah.
But
she has good gags.
She has good gags. I loved her dress.
What color was her dress?
Oh, my God. Well, they said it's puce. And I always think of puce, because it sounds like puke, to be like a disgusting green color. And I looked this up, and apparently a lot of, like, Western Europeans, I think, also associate puce with, like, a really gross, like, green, yellowy color. But it's supposed to be, like, this purplish red color. Like, Pantone has it as, like, a purplish red color, as was the color of her dress.
Mm-hmm.
But puce is just such an ugly word.
I like puce. Puce.
I think it's French.
Puce.
Because the theme of the prom is Paris in puce.
That's a great reveal in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Because she keeps mentioning that her dress is puce. And then you show up at prom that she planned. And somebody goes, oh, we know who planned this prom. And the camera pans up and you see Paris in puce.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the tablecloths and runners all match her dress exactly, which Matthew Perry is not impressed with. But Christina Applegate is like, does anybody else here match the decor? I'm the only girl here who goes with the room, is what she says. This, not enough happened with them, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know?
So Matthew Perry, and I want to get to the rest of the storyline, but like Matthew Perry's, like, role in this was to get to the point where he could make a speech and have it put Christina Applegate in her place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and we'll get to these questions soon, but, like, that's probably the only bit of it that last 10 minutes is probably on his reel for when he auditioned for Friends.
Yeah, it's really a big contrast with Courtney Cox in Masters of the Universe,
yes,
which is, you know, it's a low-budget movie, but it is a theatrical movie.
And Courtney Cox has more than, like, 10 lines.
She's arguably the main character,
yes,
even more so than He-Man.
Yeah.
Maybe Kevin. You know, she and Kevin kind of fight for the role. But, yeah, you going into Friends, I think something that we're going to keep seeing is that Courtney Cox was the biggest star,
yes,
going into Friends.
Totally.
And one of the things that we're going to be tracking in the show is how the various cast members' stars rise and fall as everything goes on.
Yep.
Just wait till we get to Leprechaun.
Hell yeah.
Really, the big turning point for this story is that Christina Applegate is not prom queen.
Yep.
And we will find out who is later. and then they leave the prom. How do they get stranded? Oh, because they have no money.
Yeah, so Matthew Perry was basically forced, Roger was forced to buy Patrice a pre-engagement ring. So he spent all of his money on this pre-engagement ring for her, and he had no more money left to pay the limo driver, who made it known that he needed time and a half in order to keep driving them. And he didn't have more than, I think, like $7.
He said 73 cents.
Oh, so, okay. So he had no money. So the driver just left him on the side of the road and they had to walk.
And it looks like a rough part of town. Mm. And I was really excited. I thought we were going to get some like fish out of water beats with them.
It was too late in the film.
I know, but they hadn't really done anything up until that point. So I was hoping that was going to be like...
Yeah, the only thing that they did was not win. Prom King and Queen. But Christina Applegate had, like, the lines, like you said.
Yeah. I don't love that this story is, like, putting down a strong woman for knowing what she wants out of life.
Yeah. I think maybe the message, if we have a message on this, is that, like, you might think you know what you want in high school, but you should be encouraged to not be hard and fast about it.
Yeah.
Like, and especially maybe not, like, bring other people who are clearly not as into your plan as you are into it.
That's fair. To go to the parents, mm-hmm. Christina Applegate has two parents.
The worst parents.
Yeah. Cliff DeYoung, who's a musician, been in some stuff. I don't really know. And then Mary Fran of New Heart. And they are constantly fighting. Christina Applegate mentions that early on. And... this is just not really interesting.
It's boring. They see Dan's dad as their marriage counselor. So that's the tie-in to the other story. But I don't find them interesting or compelling. And in the end, they decide to break up anyway. They have a right?
No, they decide to break up, and their song, and then they dance, and then they're like, wait, no, we actually
do love
each other.
So they're fighting at prom the entire time, and then at prom, the DJ plays a slow song, they slow dance, and then they decide they're going to stay together.
Let's keep moving.
I'm over it.
Okay, so now we're at Kevin and Angela, mm-hmm. which I would say is... maybe the other main storyline, along with the nerd and Alyssa Milano.
Well, because Angela is so charming and cute.
Yeah. She's also from Growing Pains. Mm. Tell me about this one.
So Angela has very strict religious parents, and she is not really allowed to do anything. She has a best friend, Margaret. And Angela and Margaret are planning to watch movies at home on prom night because neither of them are going to go to prom. Kevin finds out a lie that a friend of a friend is telling that, Angela is easy and Kevin really wants to have sex on prom night. And Alyssa Milano won't do it, so let's just try to find some girl who will. So he asks Angela, thinking that she's going to be agreeable to this. Angela, of course, has no idea, and she just thinks that he was just too scared to ask her before, so they end up going to prom together.
Yeah, and it's a real, you know, she finds a dress that her mom wore to prom years ago, and it's foxy, and she does her hair and makeup for the first time. She's an artist, mm-hmm. and she's going to go to a religious college that her parents want her to go to.
But she wants to go to art school.
In Italy. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as every other student sees her, they're like, who is that?
She's hot.
And then they're like, that's Dull Strull.
I want to point phrase. Out one really fun quote. So when Margaret is trying to convince Angela to say yes to going to prom, she's like, you know, Angela, what are you afraid of? And Angela's response is, I don't know, everything. I love that. I thought that was great.
Yeah. The two of them go out to a fancy restaurant. There's a nice gag where, so Kevin's a rich kid who never sees his parents, and, he went to a museum in Italy, and he's like, it's got the statue of the naked lady without the arms. And she goes, the Venus de Milo. Oh no, it's a restaurant he's talking about. He goes, yeah, it's got the statue of the naked lady without the arms. She goes, the Venus de Milo? And he goes, no, I think it was Ristorante del. This is a good gag. So while they're on their date, Angela's parents, highlights of the film.
So they're great. They're so fun.
Kelsey Grammer and Edie McClurg. Kelsey Grammer is the strict, I want to control everything my daughter does. Edie McClurg's just kind of going along
for the ride. Yeah, she's along for the ride.
They are secretly following Angela and Kevin throughout all of their dates because she snuck out of the house to do this.
And nothing that bad is happening. Like, they don't even end up kissing until maybe halfway through the date night at prom. And it's right before he starts to be like, so when are we going to have sex?
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the gags that Kelsey Grammer gets at the end of the movie where he's like, where she's like, nothing bad happened. And he's like, nothing bad? What about? And he lists all of the things he's done while stalking her. Like, go to the restaurant not having money. So he skips out on the bill, gets arrested for spying into a teen's party. And he's like, what about all these things? And she's like, I didn't do any of that. And Edie McClurg's like, that was you, hon. It's a nice, it's kind of a standard, like, I feel like this storyline in the 90s would have just been an entire movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's nice to have it kind of, A, abridged, and B, I like that Angela doesn't forgive Kevin.
Yeah.
They don't end up together.
They don't, nope.
She stands up for herself. She stands up for herself.
And she goes to her friend.
Yeah.
And that's what life is all about. Friends.
Friends. Unfriends.
Oh my god, I didn't even mean it. Oh my god, it sounds so stupid, but I didn't. Okay. I want to also do some of Kelsey Grammer's amazing lines.
Yes, yes.
Oh my god, please read some.
So this is him outside of a teen party, and Edie McClurg is like, I'm sure there's a chaperone here, and he looks up and he sees how wild it is. He goes, who is this chaperone? Caligula? He keeps calling makeup goo, and he really hits goo, like, in the way that only Kelsey Grammer can. He walks into the restaurant, and he immediately asks the maitre d', did you see a nice girl walk in here with a punk? And then the one that I think made us laugh the hardest, he gets the bill at the restaurant, looks at it, and he had just got spaghetti and water, and he goes, $63 for the natural bounty of the earth? Which is, I think, something I'm going to start saying.
Oh my god, it's too good. And $63 in 1988 money is, what was it today?
It was like 180-ish? Yeah, something like that.
Which for like a nice dinner for two, that's like a nice dinner. That's a nice, they must have ordered. And they didn't order too much. That's an expensive dinner. Oh, I wanted to add, I forgot that I looked this up. Puce in French means flea color. Blech. Yeah, see, it's a disgusting word. Okay.
Wait, the color of fleas or like a color that you flee from?
No, like little buggies flee. Like, I think it's...
Oh, because of like blood?
I think so. Ew. Yeah, I don't know the Wikipedia.
Yeah, the French are weird.
You're telling me. Watching Emily in Paris is something. Anyway.
I oversold how many storylines there are. I guess it's really just three teen stories.
Yeah.
And then they all have parents, so...
Yeah.
That's Dance Till Dawn. It's got a lot of great 80s music.
Yep.
They play the song Rock Until You Drop from the Monster Squad. And that's a hit. Rock until you drop. Dance until your heart stops. Rock until you drop. Dance until your heart stops. Yeah, I wish Matthew Perry was in it more.
I know. So what are our questions that we ask?
So, first of all, do you think any Friends cast members saw this movie?
Let's see. Okay, so the actual actors, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to probably honestly say no.
Mm-hmm.
I think a made-for-TV movie, I mean, these are actors who are trying to do stuff. They're young. They're going out. And he was 19, which means that everyone else was probably maybe a little bit older than him, actually. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're sitting around watching made-for-TV movies.
Yeah.
Especially about high school.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say probably not.
Yeah. How do you think that this movie impacted his... Do you think this movie impacted his career at all?
You know, like I said, I think that that last little speech about, like, I don't want to do this, I want to be a fireman, was probably on his reel that he sent. And, like, you know, I can stand up for myself and it can be funny while delivering, you know, a serious speech.
Yeah.
Because it's a very Chandler thing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to find, and even a Friends thing, you just find the humor in the serious.
Yeah.
But do we, hold on, I want to ask you, do you think any Friends cast members saw?
Yeah, I think I agree. Almost. Yeah, you agree. Okay. I think they're too busy
yeah.
trying to work.
Yeah.
that I don't think the charm of seeing all of these sitcom stars together would do much for them.
Yeah.
I just want to highlight, the year after this came out, Matthew Perry was on Growing Pains in a 3-episode arc that's like very memorable. He plays the boyfriend of one of the characters and he dies in a drunk driving accident.
Oh, okay.
I watched these clips on TikTok like a couple months ago and I'm only now remembering that it was Growing Pains.
Nice. Yeah. Wait, so which one of the cast was on Growing Pains in this movie?
So that was Angela, mm-hmm. and I was trying to look up to see if it was, he played Angela's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Tracy Gold, who were you on Growing Pains? Yes, she dates Matthew Perry in Growing Pains.
So our question about does this movie help his career is certainly, definitely does. Yeah, because he's probably not getting cast. I mean, Growing Pains is NBC, I assume. Okay. More things. I mean, I just assume. I don't know if that's actually true, but yeah, he's getting television experience.
Yep. And prior to this, he's really only done a few guest spots. Mm-hmm. He's not a star the way that kind of everyone else is. Mm-hmm. He's just a little boy.
He's just a kid.
He's just a little boy.
He's freaking 19. His hair looks amazing.
His hair does look amazing.
It's really good.
He doesn't have the Chandler spark yet, though.
No, and I don't think that this role called for that. I think that maybe he could have made some different choices that would have made his character a little more interesting to watch than just kind of like an oblivious doof.
Yeah.
But I don't think it called for the sarcastic.
Oddly flippant.
Yeah.
Yeah. This Dance Till You, not Dance Till You Drop, Dance Till Dawn.
So hold on. We have another question.
Okay, yes.
Do we think that any of the Friends characters saw this movie?
Rachel, definitely.
Rachel. I feel like she, for a while, was like reminiscing of high school,
mm-hmm.
for like big time.
Yeah. I think Rachel, definitely. Maybe Joey?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that's it.
He probably would have watched it with his sisters.
I think that
would have helped there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
Monica, too, because she... Did she go to prom? I don't think she went to prom. I don't
remember. You're going to have to tell me. You're the Friends expert. Oh, boy. Expert.
I'm trying to remember of all their episodes. Yeah, she did. She went with that guy. This is the one where, with the video,
mm-hmm.
and then Rachel realizes that Ross liked, and mm-hmm. yeah, so Monica did go to prom. It's okay.
I love the naming convention of Friends episodes, because every time you start saying that, I always think it's going to be an episode title, and I just picture it being written out as the one with the videotape and the, you know, and then, you know...
Yeah,
but I do know what you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, she does go with a guy who kind of, I don't know, he touches her boob. I don't know if you remember that.
Don't remember that.
As her date's putting a corsage on, he like kind of touches her boob a little bit, and she like says that, and the camera catches it. It's really cute. Very high school.
Yeah.
Anyway, how would you rate this movie?
I loved this movie.
Yeah.
I would give it a full 4 stars.
Yeah.
I had a few genuine belly laughs. Mostly at Kelsey Grammer.
Yes, Kelsey was great.
And it was, you know, charming and warm and mm-hmm. romancy. And
yeah.
It was a good time.
I really enjoyed it. I honestly stopped taking as detailed notes because it was easy to follow, mm-hmm. which is great for me. and I was just like, oh, this is cute, you know? Like,
yeah.
It was what I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm. How would you compare it to Masters of the Universe?
Well, I mean... It's hard because Courtney Cox took something that wasn't that great and did her best with it.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Perry, I don't know if I could say that he did his best with this. I could probably say that he did what he thought was needed.
Yeah.
And I don't really know if he knew how to act that well yet.
Yeah. I mean, he's still a teenager.
And that's the thing. He's 19. He's a baby.
He's just a baby. You know what would have been good? Yeah. If one of the storylines of this was the mercenaries from Masters of the Universe blowing up prom
crossover.
And Courtney Cox running around, I think that would have been a lot of fun.
Is there anyone cast-wise in this show who you think should have been on Friends?
You know, I'm honestly surprised that more of these cast members didn't show up on
Friends. I would agree,
because Christina Applegate's on Friends.
Yes, she is.
But I don't think Kelsey Grammer ever shows up.
Not that I can remember.
And I looked up because I was like, surely Edie McClurg was, but nope, she never did.
No, she wasn't, no.
Alyssa Milano, ever?
No, she's
yeah.
not.
But
Alyssa Milano, to be fair, she was very busy with Charmed.
Yeah, and
causing chaos on Charmed.
out of this cast, then definitely Edie McClurg.
Yeah, I she would have been great.
She could have fit in so easily.
Yep.
All right, here's my storyline pitch for her.
Okay.
She runs a, like, just a street kitchen that is suddenly competing with Monica's restaurant because everybody says that she makes something better than Monica does, and Monica can't handle that this woman who is just cooking on the street does it better.
I love that. That's great. Yes, I buy it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being my friend.
Oh, best friends.
And thank you so much for being a listener.
Thanks for being our friend.
Yeah. And if you want to watch Dance Till Dawn, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
So,
it's pretty quick. It's like an hour or 20.
Yeah, something like that. There's nice commercial breaks built in.
Yeah.
It would have been great if we had found a version that had the original commercials. Oh, I would have loved that. Yeah. But
yeah.
Say lovey.
Next time.
Next time. All right. Well, until next time, let's all stay friends.
I love it.